You know, this is actually a really big moment, because the House of Lords has backed an amendment calling on the UK Treasury to develop a clear national digital asset strategy.
It is, and I think that deserves serious attention. The proposed strategy would cover crypto assets, stablecoins, tokenized securities, and the digital infrastructure needed to support modern financial markets.
And what makes it exciting is that it is not just about one product or one narrow rule. It is really about moving the UK away from fragmented, product-by-product regulation.
Exactly. The goal is to create a coordinated, long-term plan for competing globally, managing risk, and supporting innovation in digital finance.
That feels so important, because for a while now, the UK has been positioning itself as a potential global hub for financial technology and digital assets.
The challenge is that ambition has not always translated into clear direction. Businesses, investors, and policymakers have often faced uncertainty about how different parts of the sector will be regulated.
Right, and that uncertainty can be really frustrating for people who are trying to build something legitimate in this space.
A formal strategy would help clarify the government's direction and reduce that regulatory ambiguity. If the Treasury is required to produce one, it would also need to treat digital assets as part of a connected financial ecosystem.
I love that framing, because these things are not operating in separate bubbles. A crypto asset, a stablecoin, and a tokenized security may carry different risks, but they share common technologies and infrastructure.
That is the key point. A coordinated approach would allow the government to address those shared foundations while still accounting for the specific risks of each asset type.
And for crypto assets specifically, that could mean clearer rules around consumer protection, market integrity, financial crime controls, taxation, and the responsibilities of trading platforms and service providers.
A clearer framework could help legitimate companies understand the rules they must follow. It could also give consumers more confidence in digital asset services.
That confidence piece is huge. People are more likely to engage with something if they feel the rules are clear and the system is being taken seriously.
But the regulation would also need to avoid creating unnecessary barriers for smaller firms and innovative fintech companies.
Absolutely. The last thing the UK wants is to push the next wave of innovation somewhere else.
That is why stablecoins are another key area. These digital tokens are designed to maintain a relatively stable value, often by referencing a fiat currency or holding reserves.
And their potential use in payments and settlement makes them especially important to regulators and financial institutions.
A national strategy could examine how stablecoins should be supervised, what reserve requirements may be appropriate, and how users should be protected if an issuer faces financial difficulties.
It could also consider whether certain stablecoins should be allowed for domestic payments and how they would interact with the existing banking system.
That is a serious question because payments are one of the most sensitive areas in the financial system.
Then there is tokenized securities, which is another area where I think the potential is really strong. This technology involves representing ownership of assets, such as shares, bonds, or funds on a digital ledger.
And the promise is that it could make some financial transactions faster, more transparent, and potentially less expensive.
That sounds like a win for everyone, but it also raises legal and operational questions that need to be handled carefully.
Regulators may need to clarify how ownership is recorded, how investors exercise their rights, and which rules apply when tokenized assets are issued or traded across different jurisdictions.
Exactly. You cannot just assume that old legal frameworks will automatically work for something new.
That is why the amendment also places strong emphasis on digital financial infrastructure. Digital assets cannot scale without reliable systems for custody, identity verification, payments, settlement, data management, and compliance.
And that infrastructure is not just a technical footnote. It includes the networks and platforms used by financial institutions, exchanges, technology companies, and public bodies.
A coordinated strategy could help determine where investment is needed and how different systems should work together.
For the UK, this is not only a technology issue. The financial services industry is a major contributor to the wider economy, and the success of digital asset markets could influence London's competitiveness as a global financial center.
A clear policy direction could encourage institutions to invest in research, talent, and new products within the UK rather than moving development activity to other jurisdictions.
That is one of the main benefits, and I think it comes down to predictability. Companies are more likely to invest when they understand the regulatory environment and can plan for future requirements.
For consumers, clearer rules could also improve transparency and accountability. Digital asset users may benefit from stronger standards around advertising, disclosures, platform operations, and the handling of customer funds.
That would make the whole space feel much more trustworthy, which is essential if this is going to become part of mainstream finance.
A strategy could also improve coordination among regulators. Digital assets often sit at the intersection of financial services, technology, taxation, data protection, and national security.
Without a unified approach, businesses may face overlapping requirements or uncertainty about which authority is responsible for a particular activity.
A national strategy could help align those responsibilities and reduce regulatory gaps.
That said, there are still important questions that need to be answered.
The Lords' support is a notable political signal, but the amendment does not automatically create a complete regulatory framework. Further parliamentary steps, government decisions, and detailed consultations would be needed before any strategy could take effect.
And the Treasury would also need to balance competing priorities. Rules that are too strict could discourage innovation and push businesses toward other markets.
While rules that are too weak could expose consumers and the broader financial system to avoidable risks.
So the calibration really matters.
It does. Other issues may include international coordination, the environmental impact of certain technologies, the treatment of decentralized projects, and the role of central bank digital currencies.
The strategy would need to remain flexible enough to address new developments without requiring constant legislative changes.
Overall, the House of Lords amendment places digital assets more firmly within the UK's broader economic and financial policy debate.
Rather than relying solely on separate rules for individual products, it calls for a joined-up plan covering the technologies, markets, and infrastructure that will shape the next phase of digital finance.
The core takeaway is that digital assets are becoming too important to be managed through fragmented policy decisions alone.
A well-designed strategy could support responsible innovation, strengthen consumer protections, and help the UK maintain its position in global financial services.
The challenge will be turning that ambition into practical rules that provide certainty without limiting the opportunities created by a rapidly changing industry.